listening to the Fantasy Movie League podcast, the free fantasy game for Hollywood. Pick 8 movies for your own fantasy cineplex each week, earn points from real weekend box office results. Compete for free in public leagues or against your friends at fantasymovieleague.com. This is Wednesday, May 18th, 2016, and it's week 12 of the Fantasy Movie League spring season. I'm Pete Johnson, the Fantasy Movie League nerd, and I'm joined by Patrick Rudin, the box office guy. And Patrick, we'll have an exciting final week here, won't we?
I think in the year that we've been online, this is easily the best final week we've had for any season. Like, 3 big wide releases, Captain America's doing well, like, the standings, a lot of closeness at the top. It's going to be a good one.
Well, first, let's talk about why. So the Money Monster was best performer. What the hell happened there? I was completely taken by surprise by that.
As was I. I wrote in my column last week that I thought I was going to struggle to break 10. If you had told me going into the weekend, Money Monster is either going to make 14.9 or it's going to make 8 million, I would have believed the 8. I wouldn't have been surprised with either, but it was a little bit higher than I expected, and anybody who played 6 screens of it did quite well and gained a lot of ground.
They did indeed. So as we've talked before, you know, what I do with my model is I take the average of ProBoxOffice.com and ShowBuzzDaily, their weekend forecast, and I average those guys, put it into my model, and it spits out something. And typically, not always, but typically that's either the highest or second highest number, most popular selection for the week. So I kind of think of it as conventional wisdom. If you played what I suggested or what the model suggested last week, you would have made $66 million. If you would have played any of the Money Monster times 6, you were looking at more like 110, 111 million. So it was like a 45 million swing.
That is a massive swing.
So 260 people had it, and it made a pretty big difference in our overall standings as well.
Mr. Sandlot is no longer has that comfortable lead.
He did. He was cruising. Like 3 weeks ago, he had like a $50 million lead, was just a great guest we had on the program. Super nice guy. Got into it with M37 over the weekend a little bit. And M37 is going to actually be our guest a little bit later on the program. And he'll talk about that. And I think that ended up being a little more volatile than was intended. Both super nice guys, just getting a little competitive, and because you don't have things like voice inflection or body language to sort of soften statements that get made in all text mediums like we have in forums, I think it got escalated a little bit more than was intended.
Yeah, it's all good fun. It's a game we play for fun, but it gets a little heated at times. But I don't think it's not going to be a Biggie Tupac situation.
I don't think. No, I don't think it's going to be a Biggie Tupac situation. That's well said. So our new leader is J. Mangan 122, who's got 1,105,000,000 and change. Krusty Seats Cinema is at 1,100,000,000. Twin Cities, and I won't read the end of that, is just a little bit less than that at 1,099,000,000. The Force is Woke, also at that same score of 1,099,000,000. All told, the top 10 are within 20 million of each other. So if we had a similar swing this week that we had last week, really, there's all kinds of people who could jump up and win this.
I wouldn't be shocked if on our podcast next week that we got completely turned upside down.
So yeah, it is. It's completely turned upside down. Let's take a look here real quick at the second half league as well, because that saw some movement in it. I'm up the track at 88th place, but Molly Pruitt Cineplex is still holding strong at the top there. Krusty Seats Cinema has a chance, as Phil pointed out in his review article on Monday, has a chance to double dip here and win both the overall and the second half league. That would be
To unify both championship belts would be quite a feat.
I know. I don't think we've seen that in Fantasy Movie League history so far.
It would be unprecedented.
Now, we do have a couple of interesting pieces of news this month or this week here as well. Do you have the mobile app yet?
I sure do, and I hope everybody listening has it and tells all their friends to download it and just get on it. And like, again, the chatter's been asking for, like, when are we going to get a mobile app for, really, since day one, and now it's finally here.
Now, we didn't get time to get to it this week because of how the release of the web of the mobile app went out, but I'm hoping next week, we may actually have two guests next week, and I'm trying to set up a conversation with the main developer of the mobile app, who will talk about, you know, all the different feedback that was received during beta, what are some of the future plans. A ton of people are asking about Android apps. That's definitely in the future, but the focus initially was on iPhone. So hopefully get a chance to talk to him next week. I was fortunate enough, I've been on the beta here for a couple of weeks, and I really like the push notifications that you can set on the different chatter. You can do it at like a league level, or anytime you respond to a post, you get some notifications when someone else responds, so you can sort of keep track of the conversations a little bit better.
And I was on a long conference call earlier today with some other members of the team, and really this is just kind of the beginning. And again, I think they've done a great job of incorporating the chatter's feedback into it, and I think that's going to continue. We've got some really cool stuff planned for it, so just stay tight. It's going to only get better.
Yeah, and the team's hard at work. I personally have tried to make an iPhone app. It's not an easy thing, I can tell you. There's all kinds of things that go into it, including the thing that turned me off of eventually walking away from the mobile app that I was working on was the fact that every time a new device comes out, there's some new screen resolution to try to tackle. It's not as easy as you might think for all the different combinations that you have to take into account and try to make it look good on all of them.
Oh, I don't think it's easy at all. I think I could come up with the idea for plenty of apps, but when you actually have to sit down and make the thing, that's where I get completely lost, and I need somebody who actually knows what they're doing.
Well, mine was a mobile app targeted at like preschoolers. It was kind of like a knockoff of Fruit Ninja, but with an animal slant. So I used to have a dog that would eat anything. And the name of the app was Rocky Don't Eat That. And it was food would fly towards this dog on the screen, and you had to touch the food that was safe for the dog to eat. So if you like pushed, you know, a piece of cheese, or if it was a dog bone, then the dog would safely eat it and you'd get points. But if it was like a piece of chocolate or, you know, something that's toxic to animals. And the idea was, you know, have an easy but fun game for kids that taught them some things about animal advocacy kind of thing.
That is good to know. I'm actually in the process of adopting a puppy. That's going to be happening very shortly. And so good to know. Maybe that's going to inspire my app idea and you can help me make it, because I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah, it's, like I said, not easy. We don't have any updates this week on any of the award winners. So any of the t-shirt giveaways or the Fandango gift cards, those are behind a little bit. But when those get caught up, we'll be sure to recognize folks there. And there was
save it for the end of spring season.
Yeah, definitely. And there was one other development that happened in the chatter this week that I want to give a shout out to. Have you looked at all at the World Cup? You know what I'm talking about here?
I've seen it in the chatter. I haven't done a deep dive, but like, by all means, tell everybody about it.
Okay, so 20th Century Flops and Ari, I believe, are the two folks driving this. So they previously did a mini game, a game within the game, for that tracked March Madness. So they set up like a bracket, and you would play against another player every week. And they sort of set up this huge bracket that folks advanced to sort of co-celebrate Fantasy Movie League and March Madness. And there's all kinds of these other mini games out there. I know you like the Race to the Bottom one, where you have to have the worst score. I know it's one of your favorites.
And I have some other friends there. They're in their own little private league, and they were actually kind of doing a variation of it, which is always very cool. And I know a guy who actually tries to set a good lineup, but at the same time wants to get the lowest score. Like, don't ask me how, but it's only a matter of time before that becomes a mainstream thing.
So the World Cup is a team mini game. So what they're going to do is you can team up with up to four or with up to three other players. So they're team sizes of 2 to 4. And I'm not sure how they're going to do the seeding quite yet, but they're going to do it World Cup style, where they're going to put you in a group. And this is at the beginning of the summer season, so there's still time to sign up for this. If you go ahead and there's a public league just named FML World Cup. If you join that and get in the chatter there, you can find yourself a team if you're interested. So you join a team and you get put in a group just like they would in World Cup. So you get some number of weeks to battle out in your group, and then you qualify to the bracket. So it's kind of a combination of the idea that they did for March Madness, but if you use the World Cup style, you're guaranteed to be in it for a certain number of weeks so that you don't have, you know, half the people get dropped out of it the first week. I think it's a really interesting idea. I think I applaud these guys for putting in the extra effort to put this in. I want to have them on here early in the new summer season to talk about how it's going. But interesting way to take a new take on the game.
I love the idea, and like I'm going to sign up, and I know I'm going to get stuck in the group of death, so I'm ready for battle.
Now, today's the 18th, so you still have one more day to sign up for the Loot Crate here for the month. And we've talked about this for a couple of weeks now. With the release of all the comic book movies, the theme for the Loot Crate this month is power. So what you do is if you go to www.lootcrate.com/FML, you get a chance to get this crate sent to you that's got 6 to 8 items. It'll include licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, unique one-of-a-kind items. And it's like $20 or less a month that you get all this stuff sent to you. Now, this month, like I said, because of all the comic book movies coming out, the May theme has – they've been celebrating what they've been calling power. So within the crate this month, you're going to get something you can carry, something for your kitchen, a cool figure to go along with your monthly tea, and there's a pin this month as well. It'll include 2 Marvel items, a Warcraft and a Dragon Ball Z item. So go to www.lootcrate.com/FML. No one crate should have all this power, Patrick.
If you put all that crate in, like all that power into one crate, it's like matter against antimatter, and it's just, you know, it's anarchy.
But if you can handle that anarchy with all that free gear, you can go to that URL and get your stuff. So thanks again to our sponsor, as always. Now,
if you're into the geek culture, it's cool stuff. One last thing. I mean, it's t-shirts. It's sometimes like full comic books and like various other gadgets, like, you know, things that you could put on your desk or in your man cave. So a lot of cool stuff. And there's one day left.
So before we talk about some of the newcomers this week, so we got Angry Birds, we got Neighbors 2, we got the Nice Guys. I sat down yesterday with M37 where he talked about how he predicted the Money Monster. He talked a little bit about the interaction he had with the Sandlot, tried to clarify a few things there. And he also gives us a preview of what's going to come here in the next couple of weeks in his Trend Zone article. So let's take a listen to that. Hey, I'd like to welcome back to the program. You know him from the Trend Zone. He completely called Movie Monster this past week. It's M37. Thanks for coming back.
Well, thanks for having me back.
So I was completely stunned by this, as I said to you right before I started recording, and we talked about a little bit over email. You had a really lengthy chatter post on Friday where you were explaining some of your logic. Give me the, you know, 2 to 3 minute version of that, and what is it that you saw about this movie that maybe the pros didn't see?
Well, when I started the week, I was looking, as I wrote in the Trend Zone last week, looking for a rebound. The movies coming that were returning were going to see a much smaller decline week to week, and most likely one of those was going to be our best performer.
And you thought
on the numbers that came up with.
And you thought that because when we have big movie releases, you tend to see not as big a drop the following week for movies that are still hanging around. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, the first weekend of the big movie, everyone rushes out to see that. And so the second weekend, they kind of catch up on whatever else was out before.
Right.
And so I kind of settled on a couple. But with Money Monster specifically, I just never felt comfortable with the projections they had for that. I know you read all my posts. I'm a very number, data-driven person. And if you're looking for some sort of magic formula as to what I saw there, there really isn't one, unfortunately. This was just more of a gut call. I felt George Clooney, you know, his history, and with Julia Roberts, there was just more potential than the pro forecasters were giving it credit for.
Now, you talked a little bit in that lengthy post about sort of multiple types of George Clooney movies and that this one had a little bit more upside potential because of sort of the type that it was.
Yeah, I looked at a couple of films he'd released in the past that kind of had more of that, like, dramatic thriller, almost a political theme to it. The two I referenced were Eyes of March and Michael Clayton. Both of those, they opened at a little bit of a smaller theater count, but they had well over $4,000 per theater. They kind of led me to believe there was at least that there was a market for that type of film, specifically starring Clooney.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Did it even surprise you that it was up around 15? Because I think even Friday, you were saying more like 10 or 11, I think, weren't you?
The number I had in my head most of the week was about 11 to 12. That was kind of the range I was expecting. I thought if it got to 13, I was fine with that, whatever the result would be. Anything above that was kind of gravy, was a little bit extra. So
right.
I was a little bit surprised with the final number. I'm certainly not going to complain about it.
Sure.
But yeah, it was a little bit higher than even I thought it was going to open up to.
Well, it's the better to be lucky than good, and you were a little bit of both, and it worked out. So where are you projected to be in the standings here now?
I believe I'm 10th once everything, all the final numbers come in.
Now, I'm still top 300, which I am satisfied with, but man, jumping up like you did is very impressive. So congrats to you and anybody else who saw this coming this week, because it certainly went against the conventional wisdom that the pros lay down and that some of my analytics typically lay down. Now, let me talk about some of the fallout of that. There was a little bit, things got a little cheeky in the chatter on Sunday between you and the Sandlot, and I think that probably got escalated a little bit more than either of you intended, but why don't you talk about that just a little bit.
Well, it started, I think, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I put out a post saying that, you know, calling out our leaders, saying there's a couple weeks left in the season and that just, you know, don't get too comfortable at the top. I was, you know, and honestly gunning for it. I'm always aiming to be the number one player at the end of the season. And while I wasn't totally convinced I could get there, you know, wanted to kind of spice up things in the season, in the chatter. And as of last week, especially after the Mother's Day situation, where I lost the PC on Monday, I didn't think I was going to have a shot. I really thought that, you know, I was hoping to get maybe back in the top 20 at the end of the season, but there was no way I was gonna catch up to the Sandlot. Come Saturday morning, the estimates roll in, and sure enough, there I was actually at that point directly one spot above him. So I found that old thread, and I referenced a quote I put in there before, about the tortoise and the hare.
Right.
My thought was that I was slowly making progress, inching my way up, probably wasn't going to make it, and then had this one dramatic week where everything kind of flipped on its end right there all at once.
And he didn't react particularly well to that, and I certainly understand that. And I think he's a super nice guy. When I had him on, he's very knowledgeable and was very humble about the fact that he had done as well as he did. At the time, we were in like week 9 and he'd picked 5 perfect cinemas already, was still looking for that 6, and I think he just missed it a week or two after that. I think what happens sometimes in the forums, and this is true, I think, of just any kind of text-based medium. I mean, you and I are on audio right now, and you can hear the inflection of my voice. You can't see my body language, but you can see when, you know, I'm kidding a little bit, or you can hear it in my voice. But you lose that when it comes to text, unless you're really, really careful about how you put wording out there. And actually, next week's guest, we're going to talk about this sort of phenomenon a little bit more. I think it probably escalated more than either of you kind of wanted it to. I think you both have a lot of respect for each other. Is there anything you want to comment on that? Or?
Yeah, no. I the reason I started the post in the first place was because, and I mentioned this in the thread, because the season was boring, and it was boring because he was absolutely dominating.
Yeah.
the goal was literally like, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to call out the number one player and see what happens. Again, I really didn't think I was going to have a shot to get up there. We got a week left, and, you know, maybe he'll jump right back over me this week. But it never was meant to be anything disrespectful or anything like that. I'm sure on his end it probably feels a little bad having that number one spot, you know, for so long, and then to have it kind of go away right here at the end. There's certainly some disappointment on his end, I'd imagine. Like I said, it was never meant to be disrespectful or anything like that.
Well, and I think Sunday morning, that wound is awfully fresh. I know when around the theater folks I spend a lot of time around, you the first thing, you don't want to hear anything negative right after a show, right? Because you just did it. You can't change it. It's gone forever. So, like, you want to hear the positive stuff right after you give a performance. And so I think like the timeliness of it probably made it sting a little bit more for him as well. So yeah, you and I think know each other well enough. I knew you didn't mean any malice by it, and it probably got a little blown out of proportion. Yeah, obviously you have respect for the guy, and yeah, it was boring because he was just, it looked like he was going to go wire to wire. And the thing is, he still has a chance. It's top 10. There's a lot of clustering there at the top, and we do have some new movies that I think are a little bit uncertain this week as well. So I think it's probably going to be the most exciting finish that we've had. We've had some down-to-the-wire finishes between two players before, but I think there's quite a few people that still have a chance here.
No, I agree. This is probably the best finishing week we've had since FML started. You know, I'm sitting there in 10th place. I'm a good 20 million out of the top. A couple of players behind me are about 20 to 25. But with the way the lineups can look this week, there's nobody's really out of it. If you're in the top 20, if you play your cards exactly right, you have a shot still.
Now, let me ask you just generally about Trend Zone. And you and I have been writing about numbers for this game for publicly probably for 9 months now. We're about to have we're about to roll over and have our second summer season at the end here. Numbers-wise, what kind of trends do you think you're seeing if you step back and not just like the week-to-week stuff that you're looking at? But are there kind of bigger things that you're seeing, or are there newer pieces of data that you're interested in exploring some more? Where do you think all that's going?
There's always something new. I think the one thing we've seen in the last couple of years is that reviews and word of mouth do matter. Those are definitely a little harder to justify or to analyze number-wise, but bad movies tend not to do well. They may start out well, but they're going to drop off very quickly. And that's something that's, especially in the social media age, where, you know, you can find out about whether a film is good or not so quickly that the good quality ones will hold on forever. I mean, look at Zootopia this past week.
Yeah.
And it's, what, 8th week of release? It had a 12% drop. Good movies people will still come back to.
The counterexample to that one I always think of is at the end of the summer, it was Paper Towns. Do you remember how that one went out? It had a really big Thursday. And the reason it had a really big Thursday, in hindsight, was because there were all kinds of people who were fans of the book. But then what happened was the movie significantly deviated from the plot of the book. And I think people who rushed out to see it on Thursday were disappointed in it. And it just nosedived the rest of the weekend. So that was an indicator where social media really hurt that movie, as did the fact that they sort of strayed away from what the core audience of that particular film wanted. So it gave us this false positive on Thursday night numbers.
And particularly in that demographic with the teenagers, where they're probably a lot more susceptible to the sort of the swings of the crowd, that I'm sure that actually crushed the opening weekend for it.
What other pieces of data are you looking at here in the next couple of weeks? Are you interested in?
The big one I'm still going to dive into is theater counts. There's more to come in that series. Sort of a long-range data project, which you helped me kind of collect some of the data for, hoping to find sort of a magic number that'll help us on a week-to-week basis. I won't go into more detail on that right now, but that's where the end game is.
Okay. Well, the one I'm looking at is going one level below that, and we kind of open-sourced Showtimes a couple of weeks ago. And I expanded the program that I wrote for Phil long ago that would just go and automate the collection of Showtime information in his local area of Louisville. Folks listening might recall a couple of weeks ago in the chatter, I kind of crowdsourced, hey, what cities do you want to have be included in this if I expand it, and then help me find what zip code and what mile radius should I use for each of these cities? And a ton of people contributed ideas to that. It was a really fun experiment, and it's been running now for about 4 weeks. And I haven't put this in my main articles yet, but I've been writing some smaller articles on the side just on my blog about this concept I've been calling the Showtime derivative, where it's, if you look at, if so you, I would imagine when you're looking at theaters, you're looking a lot at revenue per theater. So I try to take that a step below and try to look at revenue per showtime. And how does that vary week to week as as both the number of theaters and the number of showtimes dwindle for a particular film the older that it gets.
And that's exactly right. One of the things with theater counts is it's one static number. It doesn't give you a full picture of the amount of market share that one particular film has. There are two films could open in 3,000 theaters, and one's on two screens in every theater playing, you know, five times a day, and the other one's only on one theater and playing that same five times. So you're going to have double the volume of showtimes. And in particular, when you get to the lower level, when theater count starts dropping under 1,000, you can't really tell from that number, well, is it 1,000 theaters playing a full schedule, right, or only playing a couple of shows a day? And that's where the showtime information can be absolutely useful, especially on the lower level when theater counts start dropping week to week.
So I've been collecting that data for about a month now, and I've been doing my sort of side analytics. And, of course, you're always welcome to any of the data that I collect on this, as is anybody. You just ask me and I'll give it to you, because the more eyes we have looking at this, I think there's – you and I have said this on some emails that we've had. I think there's some room to crowdsource improvement in some of the weekend projections. And I think key to that is not only having more people looking at the data, but also having some sort of second generation data like the Showtime stuff, like the iSpot TV, like even the other one I want to start to collect here is next on my list, is start to collect the Rotten Tomatoes ratings, not so much what the final rating ends up being, but I think there might be some indicators in the number of people who submit user ratings, like the like-to-see ratings that happen before a film comes out. I think the number of people that submit those is way more indicative than what they actually say about it.
No, I actually agree. There's a very specific audience that's going to be submitting those votes, so you probably have to separate it out by genre. But if you compare similar films and look at those want-to-see votes and score, it gives you an indication of where that particular market has a feeling about that film. The only hard part is going back and finding them from the older films.
Yeah, that's the
it's a little bit tricky to go back and get the previous data to compare it to.
Yeah, so that data, it unfortunately disappears, right? You can't go back and check that, and it's true of the iSpot TV numbers. It's true of some of this other data collection. So I'm starting with the Showtime data. We've got about a month of that. Here in a week or two, I'm going to start collecting for general use the iSpot TV data. And then after that, I'm going to look at Rotten Tomatoes. So that, I mean, we won't be able to look back, you know, what movie 3 years ago, what was its second week iSpot TV number? We won't be able to do that for some of this sort of ephemeral data that disappears. But 6 months from now, we'll be able to look back on some of that data, and maybe we'll be able to draw some conclusions based on that. So I think there's all kinds of untapped analytics here.
Absolutely. And the player base overall has gotten a lot smarter and a lot better as the seasons have progressed. And we keep talking about certain data collection points, but even just we'll have players who bring out items we may never have thought of, or say this particular comp or this. We had the chatter poster CCR a couple weeks ago brought up the Mexican opening weekend.
Yeah.
For the Pantomime films, a data point I had never considered.
Yeah, that was a great analysis.
Very valuable.
That was a great analysis. That was really well done. Okay, well, there's plenty of room for folks to contribute here. Certainly, starting off in the chatter like you and I did, and now we both have columns. You know what happens, and you get something interesting, I'll get you on the podcast as well. Thanks so much for spending the time, M37. You're always You're always very helpful in the chatter. I think people appreciate that. The Trend Zone articles are great. Just keep it coming, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So, Patrick, what are your thoughts on M37's words there?
I think after hearing the interview, I can definitely reiterate what I said earlier. This is definitely not going to turn into a Biggie and Tupac situation. And again, just harmless fun. And the one thing I thought was interesting, it's another number that I've been looking at. The Rotten Tomatoes want to see number is actually a great tool. If you're at 99% on that, you're pretty good shape. But if it's below, like, even if you get below 95, then that's when I start getting a little leery. But like, that's a great tool. I wouldn't use it as gospel, but combined with all the other numbers out there, I think it's a really good one.
Well, I've spent about the last month retooling the code that I have to go out and collect all this data. So it's It's the long-range forecast data from ProBoxOffice.com. It's the weekly data we get from the game itself on pricing. The ProBoxOffice and ShowBuzz daily weekly forecasts. But now it's the data I'm starting to collect also includes the iSpot TV data, the Showtimes data, and the next thing I'm going to build is the all that Rotten Tomatoes data that we were just talking about. And I'm going to sort of build layers on top of this to make this easy to navigate so that you can have all this information at your fingertips when you're trying to make projections for different films, depending upon where they are, whether they're new or returning or whatever the case may be. Hopefully, sometime here during the summer season, I'm going to open up a beta program for folks to access a new website that'll have a lot more analytics to it based on all that data I just mentioned.
So basically, you're going to take the guesswork out of this game completely.
Well, I would like to think of it that I'm going to elevate the elevate the quality of play in much the same way that I feel like I did with the compare tool. Make it so that it's easier to find information, so that more people can have access to the same data.
It'll make everybody better players. I'm all for it.
I'm sure I'll get some hate mail over it, but you know,
boo-hoo.
So let's talk about week 12 here finally. So we got three newcomers. We've got a ton of Disney holdovers. It seems like every other movie in our slate this week for about the third week in a row is a Disney movie that's holding well with audiences. Which one do you want to talk about first here in terms of the newcomers?
Well, why don't we start with those ill-tempered feathered creatures?
Okay, so Angry Birds. The long-range forecast on that was $42 million. The theater count on that one is set to be around 3,700. I did a search using an alpha version of these tool set that I just mentioned that is based on the top 100 movies of the last 10 years. If you look at that data set, only one based on a game was above 30 million. Do you know what one it was?
Oh, one video game above. I'm going to go with Tomb Raider.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time in 2010. It did 37.
Tomb Raider's 2001, so
yeah,
excuse me there.
So 37 million in 3,646 theaters. So what are you thinking about this one this week?
I mean, I get that because, I mean, obviously, historically, video game adaptations don't do very well, but I think this is the first time I can remember just specifically a mobile game being adapted.
I think
and
it is, yeah.
This game has been downloaded over 3 billion times, so I think it's a little bit of an outlier in the video games area. And I did a little research on my column as well, and over the last 15 years, there's been 10 computer animated movies have been released in mid to late May, and of the 10, only two of them have failed to clear $40 million. Would you like to guess what those two were?
I have no clue.
It was Over the Edge and Epic. And okay. I would argue that Angry Birds definitely is more of a pre-sold title and definitely has a bigger pop culture imprint than either of those two. So I'm definitely liking like north of 40.
Okay. Well, like I said, the long range from Pro Box Office was 42. If you average the two top pro services, ShowBuzz Daily and ProBoxOffice.com, it comes in at like 39 and change. So you're liking north of that then.
I like north.
All right.
I think it's got upside because, again, I think it's going to – Zootopia is kind of – again, it's been so strong, but it's kind of ending its run a little bit. I think it's going to skew very young. I think it is going to capture the family audience. And I think it's not just for little kids because if you – go into any waiting room or any airport terminal, sure. Like everybody is playing this game. Like we've all wasted ungodly amounts of time on this game, like myself included. So I think it's got a pretty high ceiling there. So that's what I like this week.
Well, the thing that I don't like about it is I think everybody was playing this game. I don't know that it's as hot a video game title as it once was. So I think if this movie had come out 2 years ago, certainly 3 years ago, I think it would have more buzz, but this almost feels like, hey, we've got this aging title. Let's see if we can squeeze just a little bit more revenue out of it.
And I agree. I think it would have been better if they had, like, this movie had gotten to theaters maybe 3 years ago. But I still think it's pretty big. Because, again, if you include all, like, the Angry Birds and the spinoffs and, like, all the sequels, it's over $3 billion. So on that alone, like, I'm optimistic.
Okay. Well, like I said, the pro averages are a little bit less than that. And let's see, if I go to, I've got those that data uploaded onto compare.fmlnerd already. this week, because I got that done before the podcast, which is rare for me. If you take some of the other estimates at gospel, Angry Birds has to get somewhere around 42, 43 million to be best performer, if you assume all the other estimates are correct. How are you feeling about a $43 million bar for that one?
Makes me a little more nervous, but wouldn't shock me. I think it could go end up going much higher. So, like, I think I'm going to roll with the birds.
All right. Well, let's talk about what I think is the least likely candidate of the three new movies to make a dent on folks this week, and that's The Nice Guys. So it had a long-range forecast of $17 million. It's going to be in roughly 2,800 theaters. So again, I use that same data set, top 100 movies of the last 10 years. If you look at movies that were in 2,500 to 3,000 theaters that were rated R and came out in mid-March, only two went for over $17
million. Mid-March or mid-May?
Oh, I did mid-March. Maybe. No, you know what? I did do mid-May. So it was Inside Man did $24 million in 2006, and Silent Hill in the same year did $20 million, but that's a horror movie.
And again, Silent Hill, a little pre-sold. And Inside Man, again, that was a Denzel Washington. Clive Owen had a little bit of heat on him at the time.
Right.
Like, just a little bit bigger movie and really well-reviewed, probably like the most well-reviewed, most commercial movie of Spike Lee's career. And like, agree with you, I think the good guy, or the, excuse me, I almost called it the good guys. I think The Nice Guys is one of those movies, like, it's getting a 97 on Rotten Tomatoes right now. The buzz is very good, but even though Gosling and Crowe are, like, big names, Gosling's never had a $100 million movie in his career, and Russell Crowe, I think you got to go back at least 6 years before until he carried, like, a big hit by himself.
Right.
And that hit was Robin Hood, which globally did well, was a bit of a disappointment here because it was so expensive. And I'm not counting his glorified cameos in Les Mis or Man of Steel, but it's been a while. I think Crowe's at a different place in his career. And this strikes me as a movie that people are going to discover on VOD and cable several months from now, and they're going to say, that was really good. Why wasn't that a bigger hit? So I'm seeing low, maybe mid-teens. Like, 17 seems a little ambitious for me.
Yeah, I'm the same. The pro averages put this one at 16.5. If you believe in it, it would have to get up closer to 18 to put it in contention for best performer and worth it in your lineup. I don't like it to get to 18. I think it might get to that 16.5.
I'm thinking more like, I think 15 is where about I kind of see it topping off. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if it went a little higher, but too risky for me.
And just so you know, Javert is not a cameo in Les Mis. You're just wishing it was a cameo because it was so poorly sung. That's what
maybe that's what I'm thinking here, and everybody else had a much bigger role. I forgot who I'm talking to here. I just committed like some sort of
I
committed musical theater sin.
Yeah, you can't commit a musical theater sin and have me not pick up on it. So,
well, point is, it was largely an ensemble, and people weren't going to see that movie because of Russell Crowe. They were going to see it because it's one of the most popular musicals of all time.
There you go. That's the props it deserves. Thank you for that. Now, the one I think has a chance to do better than expected this week is Neighbors 2. So the long-range forecast on that was $40 million. It's going to be in closer to 3,300 theaters. The original was released 2 Mays ago and did $49 million in roughly the same number of theaters. The original's got a Rotten Tomatoes of 73%. And when I checked earlier today, so far, the sequel is at 67%. I think that – so when you average our pro forecasts, it has it at 37.5. But I don't – do you see this making less than 40?
I have it like right around in the high 30s, I think. The only thing, I don't think it's a reflection on the movie because based on the marketing, I think it's the exact same movie that was a big hit last time, which – not that bad of a thing. Like, The Hangover and The Hangover 2 are the exact same movie. Like, the copy just wasn't quite as sharp as the original, but still did really well. The thing that gets me is the last couple of years, R-rated sequels have done significantly less than their predecessors. I think Horrible Bosses was a 54% dip. I think Ted 2 was a 67% dip. And Hot Tub Time Machine 2 was, I think, about a 72% dip. So that's why I'm a little leery about it. I think I think Neighbors 2 will have a better holdover than the three titles I just mentioned. But to get back to 49, I don't think it's going to build upon its previous number. So I think high 30s, low 40s is about where I see it.
Okay. I see it getting to 40, but I'm you've obviously listed some reasons why that is. I mean, those movies, I'd have to check. I'm guessing those were not as high-quality rated R comedies, though, that they're coming back with.
Well, the original Ted was actually pretty well regarded and did a huge number. The sequel just didn't live up to it. I mean, Hot Tub Time Machine, a little bit of an anomaly there. And, like, Horrible Bosses wasn't great, but did quite well. And then, like, really got cut in half in the sequel.
Now, what about Returners? What are you liking in terms of returning films this week?
Because right now I'm liking Angry Birds. Again, the top of the lineup, it's going to be top heavy, whatever way you go, be it Neighbors, be it Angry Birds, or be it Captain America again. I think Zootopia is going to take a big hit because Angry Birds is direct competition. But as far as filler goes, that's what I'm leaning towards at the moment. But I don't see anything else I love. There isn't a real obvious bonus pick for me this week.
So when I jumble my numbers and put them in the model this week, by far the overwhelming choice ends up being two Captain Americas and six Zootopias, so an all Disney lineup again. There's combinations with The Nice Guys, if you happen to like that, also with Zootopia, with a couple of Angry Birds, five Zootopias and a filler, either Mother's Day or Huntsman. Those are the top couple of lineups that my model spits out, given what we've got from the pro services. But if you're like me, if you want to try to make a jump this week and you want to, you know, swing and possibly miss, I actually, as we just discussed, I like Neighbors a little bit more than you do. And I'm on my main account, I'm going to play two screens of Neighbors, two screens of Huntsman, two screens of The Boss, and two Batman versus Superman as kind of a counterplay to see if I can jump up in the top 300 a little bit. I may drop out of the top 300. I may drop out of the top 500, swinging and maybe missing on that. But I think Neighbors is going to do better than people think.
It could very well be. And again, I think the movie looks funny. I've seen it like a couple times in the last few years where when you make the exact same version of a comedy movie for the sequel, it tends to do a little worse. But who knows? I think it's going to do fine. But I don't know if it's going to do as good as the previous one, but you don't need it to.
That's why we play the games, Patrick.
Indeed, indeed.
Okay, well, good luck to everybody. This is last week here of the spring season. There's going to be some new stuff we didn't get a chance really to talk about. There's a new league with a different bonus structure if you want to play in that. We'll talk about that next week. We'll also hopefully get a chance to get the mobile app developer on. I got one other guest lined up for next week as well. So that's going to be it here for week 12 of the Fantasy Movie League spring season. As always, you can find me on Twitter at NerdGuru. Patrick, how about yourself?
You can always find me at TheBoxOfficeGuy on Twitter, and I encourage everybody to check out the new iPhone mobile app.
As always, you can get your Fantasy Movie League gear at FantasyMovieLeagueShop.com, and you can find the league itself on Twitter at FML_movies and on Facebook at Fantasy Movie League. Good luck, everybody. Until next week.
This has been the Fantasy Movie League podcast. Come join us and play for free in public leagues or against your friends at FantasyMovieLeague.com.